Good afternoon, listeners. You're invited to take a little walk back in time with me to a time of soda shops and penny candy, of neighborhood grocers and silver screen legends. Welcome back to the golden age of radio, and enjoy classic radio plays of a bygone era, reimagined here for you by the Alexander Radio Theater.
There seem to be only two kinds of people in Montana Territory, the good and the bad. Sometimes it's hard to tell which is which.
Frontier Gentlemen, herewith an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now, starring Micah Henry, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
I was on my way back to Fort Benton on the Missouri River when I reached Helena, and there I was lucky enough to receive an offer of transportation in a wagon. So I sold my horse, and we went out on the Milan Road. My companion, or bullwhacker, as he called himself, was a leathery, stringy chap who might have been 50 or 70. It was hard to tell. His name was George Scales, and he seemed more than happy to have someone to talk to.
Yes, sir, I was one of the first out to the California Gold Rush. Went out with my father in 49. Now, how old would you figure I am, boy?
Well, I,
58. 58. Wouldn't think it, would you?
Well, I...
58. Never had a sick day in my life. Been married 3 times, buried 2. Third got took by Apaches down in Arizona Territory. I pity the poor son of a gun Indian that's hooked up with her. Boy, she was the meanest piece of calico you ever set eyes on. That was one lucky day for me. You, are you married?
No.
No, you take my advice, boy. Hey, what'd you say your name was?
Kendall.
Kendall? You ain't kin to the Brown County, Texas Kendalls, are you?
No.
No, come to think of it there. Her name wasn't Kendall. It was Fridgen. Now, how come you figure I misremembered that? Now, what was we talking about?
Well, I'm not quite sure.
Now, you take my father. 86 years old, 2 weeks back. I'm taking him home to bury him.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I ain't a thing for sorrow. All got to go up to Salt River sometime. Old Buzzard's been out in California better than 30 years. Ain't no place for a man to sack his saddle. So last trip out, I said, Pa, I got to take you back to Kentucky. Because when you bite the dust, it ain't fitting you do it in this place. That's what I said.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, we got us a place in Kentucky. Figure he ought to rest comfortable there.
Well, did he die on the way, from California?
If he did, it's since you got on back in Helena. No, that old Buzzard ain't dead. He's sleeping in the wagon.
Oh.
Eats and sleeps. Ain't much else to do, I guess. Old Buzzard. Deef is a post. When he wakes up, you just say hello, smile at him, and he'll think that's just fine. Just fine. Oh, you want it, Shaw?
No, thank you.
You don't talk much, do you?
No, I suppose not.
What's your business?
I'm a newspaper correspondent.
Writer?
Yes.
Newspaper feller, huh?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, had me a run-in with one of your kind back in 62, or maybe 'twas 63. I was a mule skinner with Major McCleave down in Apache country. You ever been down there?
No.
Mean, purely mean country. Ain't fitting for nothing.
Hey, Sonny.
Hey, the old Buzzard woke up. Hey, everything's fine, Pa. Oh, you ain't never nothing but hungry, Pa. Got a way to go yet, Pa. Hey, this here's Mr. Kendall. He got on in Helena.
Yeah.
How do you do, Mr. Scales?
Dad, it don't matter what you say. Just talk good and loud.
Yes, I understand you're going back to Kentucky. What is he saying?
No telling. You go back to sleep, you old Buzzard. I'll tell you when it's time to eat. He's going to do it. Guess he didn't like you.
Oh?
Pa meets a stranger, he'll talk your ear off. Talkingest man I ever seen. If he don't take to you, he does what I tell him. Like as not, he'll keep his mouth shut now till you get off in Benton.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no cause, mister. Man can't help what he is. I just hope you ain't like that sheep-killing dog of a newspaper feller I was telling you about. I sure did sharp my hoe on him.
Well, whatever he did, I assure you, I'll be very careful not to make the same mistake.
Newspaper fellas.
At midday, we stopped for our meal. Scales, senior and junior, kept up an extraordinary conversation, during which time I was completely ignored. The pair reminded me a little of Dickensian characters, a certain gentleman and his aged parent. After his food, the aged parent clambered back into the wagon and presumably went back to sleep as we continued on our way. An offering of tobacco mellowed Scales somewhat, and I felt that possibly I might be forgiven for my sin by association. It was late that afternoon when we saw the three riders. They were halted by the side of the road.
Hey, Efton, you know how to use that gun of yours, Kendall. You better be ready to reach.
You think they're outlaws?
Man's bone seasons. He don't take chances, not in these parts.
It looks as though one of them is hurt.
Well, that's a fact, and hey, well, I'll be a whaybilly stump sucker. Ha, a woman! One's a woman. Look at that. That don't beat all. Whoa, whoa there, whoa. Hey, you got trouble?
Haven't got any medicines, have you?
Nope, got some whiskey.
It's my husband. He's hurt kind of bad.
Oh, it ain't nothing, I tell you, Dory. Just let me rest a while. We'll get on. You ain't gonna make it, Bill. Shut up. Mister, I'll buy your whiskey. That'll fix me.
No such thing. It isn't whiskey you need. Either of you gents know about doctoring?
Oh, ma'am.
Well, I know a little, not much.
Let him take a look, Bill. Jack, here, come on. Give him a hand down.
You know, Kendall, I got a feeling I know that fella. I seen him, but I ain't sure exactly where.
Why don't you bring your whiskey out, Mr. Scales? He looks as if he could use it.
All right.
Here, get your jacket off, Bill.
Easy, woman. Now take it easy. Oh, man, that sure looks wicked.
You'd better sit down. There's a rock over there. Come along.
Oh.
When did this happen?
3 days ago.
And did you get the bullet out?
No.
I'm all right, I tell you. Just let me rest.
You're not all right. That's gangrene, the shoulder and the arm. There's a doctor in Helena. It wouldn't take you more than 3 hours to get there.
We ain't going to Helena, mister. We're going to Fort Benton.
But that's over 100 miles. You've already got a fever. If I were you, I'd...
You ain't me.
Oh, Bill, he's right. Now, please, let's go back.
No.
I think I could remove the bullet, but that won't help.
You ain't no doctor.
Here, pour some of this panther juice in your gizzard. Cure everything from the rattles to... Oh, no, it ain't gonna cure that.
Give me the bottle. Here, take a big slug, B.
Hey, don't I know him someplace?
Not likely to, mister.
I ain't never forgot a face. I swear I seen him. Mind if I ask your name?
I'm obliged for your whiskey. We'll be moving on. Oh, Bill, what good's it gonna do? You're sick. You can't ride all that way. Now do like he says, and let's go.
Dora, you heard what I said. Come on now.
Oh, Bill!
He'd fainted. We carried him to the wagon, put him inside. The aged parent woke up, smiled pleasantly at the newcomers, and watched with interest as the wife and the one called Jack did what they could to make the wounded man comfortable. I felt a tug at my sleeve. Scales drew me away from the wagon.
I know him. I remember. I know who he is. I never forget a man's face. Only different now, he ain't got that mustache he used to wear. The Powder River Kid, Bill Logan. That's who.
Oh?
Oh, ain't you got no savvy? The Powder River Kid. He's wanted in more territories than even the James boys. Well, I've seen the posters. There's $2,000 reward for him, dead or alive. Well, what do you say? Make pretty good sharings, huh? Muy dinero. $1,000 for you, $1,000 for me.
Of course, his wife and his friend might have something to say about that.
Well, then we shoot him. Sure, shoot him now. Then we take the kid on into Benton and collect.
I don't think he'll live that long. Not without a doctor.
Who's talking about alive? Posters say live or dead. Come to think of it, we'd be better off if we shot him. Might be a sack full of trouble. I seen him draw once, down in Virginia City it was. He fanned two men down so quick, he had his gun back in a holster before they hit the ground.
Mister?
Yes, coming.
Other fellas getting out of the wagon, too. Are we going to kill him?
No.
He's still unconscious. Mister, you said you could take out the bullet. Maybe it would do some good.
There's too much poison. He's got one chance, and that's to take him back to Helena.
This your wagon, Mr. Kendall?
No, ma'am, it's mine. George Scales.
Mr. Scales, I'll pay you $200 if you'll turn around. Take us back to Helena.
Well, now, that's a mighty attractive offer.
I don't know, Dory, Bill said.
I don't care what he said. Right now, he's dying.
No, I ain't. Mister, my wife offers you $200 to take me back to Helena. You let me rest a while in your wagon till I'm fit to ride the other way. I'll make it $300.
Ha, that's fair. Yes, sir, that's a fair deal. I'll do that. Make yourself to home. The old buzzard's my pa. If he talks at you too much, just beller good and loud. Go to sleep, you old buzzard.
You ride in here with me, Dory. Jack, stay on your horse.
Sure, Bill. Just take it easy.
All right, boys, let's bamboose.
Endless hours on the range can cause unsightly wear and tear on boots, saddles, and tack. But don't let your sagging saddle get you down. Choose Bushwhacker Saddle Soap for all your leather needs. A real cowboy wants a product that will clean and condition, leaving leather supple and smooth. There are many saddle soaps available these days, all claiming to be the best, but only Bushwhacker offers exceptional suds and a pleasing odor every time. So next time you stop in at your local tack and feed shop, pick up a tin of Bushwhacker's saddle soap for the discriminating bushwhacker.
Yep, be getting some rain by and by.
Yes, might be an idea to camp pretty soon.
Bet the Powder River Kid thinks so. This trail ain't the softest. Hey, how long you figure till he hangs up his hat?
I don't know, but I wouldn't worry about it.
Oh, I ain't worrying, but I've been doing some thinking. How come you suppose he don't want to go back to Helena?
Somebody's after him, I imagine.
That's my guess. And if somebody's a U.S. Marshal, and that Marshal finds him before the kid dies, you figure maybe we'll have to cut another share on the reward?
A fine legal point.
Well, I ain't gonna worry. Dark coming on. Hey, there's a likely looking clearing up the road. Hey, I got to feed the old buzzard. Hiya! Hiya! Yep! Her!
After the supper, I walked away from the camp to a rise overlooking the Missouri. There were flashes of lightning in the east, and you could see the outline of heavy black clouds. But there hadn't been any rain yet. I stood for about 10 minutes smoking my pipe. Then I heard steps behind me.
Scales said you came up this way.
How's your husband?
Well, I think the fever's worse. Will he make it?
I'm not a doctor.
You don't have to be.
You should have gone back to Helena.
He couldn't. He was afraid to. Scales knows who he is, doesn't he? You know.
Yes.
There's been a marshal trailing us for 6 months. He caught up with Bill and Helena. My brother Jack helped him get away, and we hid out in town for 3 days.
Well, why didn't you get a doctor?
Oh, he wouldn't let us. There's a reward. Bill was afraid a doctor would try and collect, just like your friend wants to.
He is pretty obvious, isn't he?
Oh, man's luck runs out. The coyotes started snapping for the leavings. Me and Bill was on our way to Benton before the marshal caught up with him. We figured on going back east.
Were you and your brother both working with Logan?
No, and Bill hasn't done anything wrong since we was married. Mr. Kendall, I'll tell you a straight thing. I haven't been what a man like you'd call a decent woman most of my life. I've been a wild one, but not since Bill.
I wish I could help, Mrs. Logan.
I really come to ask you to... I saw it done once before with a man's leg that got like Bill's arm. They cut it off.
Yes, I thought of that. It's too late. The poison's in his shoulder. It wouldn't do any good. I'm sorry.
A preacher out in Utah married us. He'd never heard of the Powder River Kid. He thought we was nice folks. Well, I better get back to the camp.
I went with her. Jack was with Logan in the wagon. Scales' father was sitting on his haunches by the campfire, sucking on a piece of root candy and whittling a sliver of wood. He rocked back and forth, humming to himself. Scales leaned against a tree, ruminating on a piece of tobacco. He beckoned me.
What'd she want?
She wanted me to cut off his arm.
That's a woman for you. You aim to do it?
No. Wouldn't do any good. Probably kill him.
Sure wouldn't think he was a gunslinger, would you? Not now you wouldn't. Sick and whimpering like a dying pup.
You think we could go on tonight?
Not on this trail with rains coming, no, sir. Besides, the old buzzard don't like traveling in the dark. Oh, I hope you don't keep that up all night. None of us will get any shut-eye.
Oh, now lie back. Lie back, honey. It'll be better.
Anything I can do, Jack?
No, he's sick. Sick to the head right now. Don't even know Dory. Dory says you know about us. We figured so. I think you're all right, Kendall. My sister does too. But I want to tell you not to start thinking about that reward.
A few minutes later, it began to rain. Continued intermittently all through the night. But the dawn was clear and bright. It took the combined efforts of oxen, horses, and men to take the wagon back onto the trail. The wheel had sunk nearly hub deep in the mud. But as the sun rose, we were on our way northward again. Bill Logan was no longer delirious, but in the grayness of his face, I knew that he didn't have long to live. It was in the early afternoon that his wife called out to me.
Mr. Kendall?
Yes?
Will you come back a minute?
All right.
Maybe he's dead, huh?
Maybe.
He wants to talk to you.
Dory, go on up with the bullwhacker. What I got to say is private.
Make him stay quiet.
Come over closer, will you? Is the old man asleep?
Yes.
Now listen, I'm finished. There ain't no doctor nor nothing going to help me now. I feel it. Now, I never ask a favor of no man in my life, and I'm asking one now.
What is it?
There's a reward for me. It ain't much. Only 2,000. But it'd mean something for Dory. They ain't going to pay no reward for a man that's died natural-like. Or if they do, like as not, you'll go to that Marshall feller that started me off. I want you to fix it so Dory can get it.
Well, how?
You fill me full lead.
Shoot you?
Yeah. Shoot me.
No.
I trust you. You see, I trust you to give the money to Dory.
You're out of your head.
No. No, mister, I ain't. Last night, but not now. It's the best I can do for her. She's a good woman. Let me give her something for her. She don't have to go back to what she was.
I can't kill you.
You got a right to. Look, I'm wanted, Kendall. I've done more killings than I can remember. It ain't a wrong thing for you to do. You could say I was trying to escape.
I can't.
If I draw on you?
It doesn't make any difference. We both know you wouldn't shoot. I'm sorry. I don't think you felt very much pain after that. He just drank Scales' whiskey and talked quietly to his wife. He died just before the sun went down.
Well, I guess he's dead now.
I think so.
You figure she'll want to take him into Benton or bury him right here?
I don't know.
Sure does seem a shame and a sin to see that reward go up in smoke.
Perhaps it doesn't have to.
How you mean? How come?
I could ride back to Helena. Wouldn't take more than a few hours.
What good would that do?
Well, I'd take him back with me.
Yeah?
All you have to do is see that they don't try to stop me.
Listen, boy. For $1,000, nobody's going to stop you. The old buzzard's still spry enough to hold a gun. I just have to tell him who to point it at is all. Hey, how do I know you'll come back?
Well, I imagine you'll just have to take my word for it.
I ain't never trusted a newspaper feller yet. But I guess there ain't no choice.
I give you my word of honor. I'll come back.
All right. Curry's in there, too. Well, ain't gonna be nothing to it. All right, Curry. You keep your hands high. Both of you get over to the other side of the wagon. The Powder River Kid's going back to Helena.
Scales shouted instructions to his father, who disarmed the dead man and Curry, then held a gun steady, a smile on his old face, head nodding approvingly. I took Logan's body out of the wagon and tied it onto a horse. And just before I rode away, I saw Mrs. Logan watching me, crying, a soundless, terrible cry. I must have traveled 10 miles into the night before I found the courage to do what I had to do. I led the horses off the road, tethered them, and took down Logan's body. He looked peaceful. Forgive me, Logan. I delivered the body to the marshal in Helena and collected $2,000 reward for the capture and killing of Bill Logan, alias the Powder River Kid. Then I took the two horses and rode back to where I'd left the wagon.
Did you get it, boy? Did you get the money?
I got it.
One of these days I'm going to catch up with you, mister.
Get on your horses. You too, Mrs. Logan. Go on.
One of these days.
That was fine, boy, fine. Now, come on, let's divvy up.
Afraid not, Mr. Scales. I've got some bad news for you. You are getting nothing.
What?
Exactly. Drop your gun or the old buzzard's going to lose his son.
I might have known. Just like the other one. A stinking no-good, low-down newspaper feller.
Goodbye, Mr. Scales. It's been a most unpleasant association. I took Logan's horse and caught up with Mrs. Logan and her brother a little further along the Milan Road. I gave her the $2,000, and together we rode on into Fort Benton, Montana Territory.
Frontier Gentleman, the Powder River Kid, originally aired April 6, 1956, starring John Daner, John Kearns, Paula Winslow, Larry Dobkin, Barney Phillips, and Robert Rudy. It was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis, and music was composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Our production starred Micah Henry as J.B. Kendall, Lynn LaPelle as Scales, Randy Bryant as Pa and Jack, Kay Henry as Dora, and Larry Riddle as Bill. Sound effects were created or collected by the cast, and music was used royalty-free. Full credits will appear on the Alexander County Library website. The Alexander Radio Theater is brought to you by the Alexander Community Theater, the Alexander County Library, and Apple City Broadcasting. This is Laura Crooks, your announcer, inviting you to tune in next month for another Alexander Radio Theater production. Take your time as you head back to the present day. Enjoy the view, and don't miss the little things of today that will be tomorrow's treasures.